Hello, Apostolic Insiders. I can't believe it's the eighth Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's almost Lent. Ash Wednesday, of course, is this Wednesday, and there's no doubt that these readings are preparation for us for this awesome season of Lent that we are approaching. If there is a theme in these readings, it is we need to check our hearts. I believe we, as Catholic Christians, as individuals, and as a culture, the biggest problem we have is a problem of the heart. And that is where salvation takes place. That's where transformation takes place. That's where eternity begins. It is in the heart, and Holy Mother Church is focusing us on what is most important as we approach Lent. If you look at the first reading there, from Sirach 27, I'll pick up here in verse 3. I'll actually go back before the actual reading begins in verse 4. But Sirach 24:3 says, "If a man is not steadfast and zealous in the fear of the Lord, his house will be quickly overthrown." The reading here that we see beginning in Sirach 27:4 begins with this theme that we must begin everything in our lives with the Lord. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Matthew 6:33 says, before anything in our lives is going to make sense, fit together, work at all. If we are not steadfast and zealous in the fear of the Lord, everything that we do will come to naught, and ultimately we will end in an eternity separated from God. Notice that context there of Sirach 27:3. If a man is not steadfast and zealous in the Lord, his house will be quickly overthrown. That leads you into, when a sieve is shaken, the refuse remains, so a man's filth remains in his thoughts. The kiln tests the potter's vessel, so the test of just men is in tribulation. So tribulation, suffering, persecutions are going to come, and it's those times that really the test comes, and it will reveal in our lives whether we truly have put the Lord first or not. You know, it's easy to be a Christian. I had an old gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps who said it's easy to be a Christian when they're not throwing you to the lions, right? But it's when the lions come that the heart really is manifest, because it's the fire of tribulation that tests. That's the sieve that is shaken. And what remains is going to be what is in the heart. Look at verse 6. The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree. So the expression of a thought discloses the cultivation of man's mind. Do not praise a man before you hear him speak, for this is the test of men. I think this reading really dovetails beautifully into Luke chapter 6. I'll just fast forward to verse 45. Out of the abundance of the heart, so a man speaks. The gospel reading we have today takes Sirach 27 a bit deeper to the testing getting all the way into the heart. It's not just the mind, as we see here in Sirach 27, right? The fruit discloses the cultivation of a tree, so the expression of a thought discloses the cultivation of a man's mind. Jesus takes it deeper to simply thoughts and what's in the mind, to the inner core of the person, and that is to the heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. And notice when you go to the psalm, in Psalm 92, once again we have the foundation in verse 1 here, or in verse 2 in the reading. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Notice everything once again begins with the praise of God, acknowledging God, that God is God and we are not. That's the foundation of our spiritual lives. And indeed, that is the foundation of any family, of any culture, of any nation. Any culture, nation, family, or individual that does not begin with the Lord and giving thanks to Him will end in destruction. If you skip down there to Psalm 92, verse 12, It's in that and from that foundation of giving thanks to the Lord that we see the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap. Once again, this theme, you begin with giving everything to God. That's your foundation, and that's where the good fruit comes from. And this is why when we see in the reading from 1 Corinthians 15, you know, St. Paul is focusing on the second coming of our Lord, the resurrection of the body. And it's in that context that he says that we are to be steadfast in the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Have you ever heard that old saying that says, if you're too heavenly minded, you won't be any earthly good? Well, that's bogus. You know, St. Paul obviously does not agree with that, because when you focus on heaven and our ultimate goal, which is to be in eternity with our Lord, that is the motivation for us to really abound, as St. Paul says, in the work of the Lord. And so in the readings today, we have this focus then, beginning with the Lord, before we can get to anything in our lives that is truly going to be fruitful. There's a reason why in the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments focus on the Lord. Right? There's a hierarchy in the Ten Commandments. Commandment number one, thou shalt not make any graven image of any likeness of anything being in heaven or earth or under the sea, and thou shalt not bow down and worship them. Notice, that's the most important commandment. Number one focuses on thou shalt not have any gods before me. And of course, you know, we can make gods out of money, out of sex, out of power, out of anything. Anything we place in our lives that's more important than God becomes a god and the source of our destruction. The second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, the Lord thy God, in vain. Again, focusing on the Lord. And three, keep the Lord's day. The first three commandments directly relate to God. And why is that? Because the greatest evil any individual or culture can ever commit is the rejection of God. The greatest evils, my friends, are not abortion, not adultery, not all the sorts of immorality that we see today. The greatest evil any individual, any culture, any nation can commit, the greatest evil is the rejection of God as God. This is why St. Paul would say in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, although they knew God, they refused to acknowledge him as God and give thanks to him as God. Therefore, I'm skipping a little bit here, therefore God hands them over to a reprobate mind. And notice how it leads to men desiring men, women desiring women. They put up all manner of four-legged creature. They begin to worship the creature instead of the creator. You ever heard the old saying, sin makes you stupid? Well, that's exactly what you see in Romans chapter 1. But it begins with the rejection of God. And notice, although they knew God, they refused to acknowledge him as God and give thanks to him as God. And that leads to absolute destruction of individuals as well as cultures. My friends, what the church is saying to us today, and the Holy Spirit speaking through the church, is that we have to check our hearts at the beginning of Lent now in preparation for Lent. We need to check our hearts and to be sure that we are focused where our focus ought to be. Because if God's not first in our lives, when we're examining our consciences to go to confession, a lot of folks just skip right over the first three commandments and get, well, really the first five, and get right to, you know, the sixth and ninth commandments as if they are the most important. Now, of course, all the commandments are important. But the first thing we need to check is, are we putting God first in our daily prayer, our daily rosary? If you're not saying your daily prayers and honoring God and placing him first, everything in your life is going to be off. See, and now let's go to the gospel here. Because in the gospel in Luke chapter 6, we continue with this theme. Notice how the reading begins. Now, I'm going to back up a little bit, like I did with our reading from Sirach, to Luke 6:37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. All right? This is the context leading up to Jesus saying, as we see in the first verse here in our reading, verse 39, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. Those are strong words from our Lord. You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And it's in that context that we see this reading really dovetailing, as I said before, with Sirach. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes, grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Everything begins in the heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth, out of the heart, that is what defiles a man. Our prayer at the beginning of this Lent should be with the psalmist David in one of his most beautiful psalms, Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. And as you know, he wrote this when his life had been reduced to rubble due to his commission of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah the Hittite. He was reduced to rubble, and he begs God for mercy and says, create in me a clean heart, O God. King David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, understood that everything begins with the heart, and not somebody else's heart, not, you know, pulling the specks out of everybody else's eye, but understanding the beam in my own eye is the greatest danger to my soul and will keep me from being a fruitful Christian that will bring forth eternal fruit and ultimately be empowered to merit eternal life. The most dangerous thing in the world is not what's out there. It's what's in here. It's in the heart. And this is what Jesus is focusing on here. Folks, you ever notice how some folks are so preoccupied with the sins of others, it dominates their discourse? And I will tell you, anybody who focuses on the sins of others, I mean, and I, folks, there are some people out there on the blogosphere that make a living doing nothing but judging others, judging the Pope, judging the bishops, everybody's evil but they, you know, them. I saw one guy the other day, you know, a big name in the blogosphere, just saying, you know, the Pope Francis needs to resign and all the cardinals that he has created and most of the cardinals, they all need to resign. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, I shouldn't laugh, because whenever you see someone that is so focused on the sins of others, pray for that person, because that person is in a terrible place. And most likely, the ones who scream the loudest about the sins of others, you're going to find most likely there's some serious sinning going on in their life as well, because it's so easy to focus on everybody else. And in the process of doing that, there's just a natural tendency to exalt the self, because you become the righteous one that everybody pats on the back. Wow, yeah, he's calling out popes and bishops, man. Oh, boy, isn't he holy, right? And, of course, that's the fatal mistake, my friend. In fact, there can be no worse state of being in a person's spiritual life than to be where 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12 says, "If any man thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall." Humility, focusing on our own sins and our own faults. This is what the church calls us to here at the beginning of Lent. Now, folks, I'm not saying there's not a time to call out sin. Of course there is. We must, as John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Of course, we have to judge actions. But the emphasis, my friends, we have to be so, so careful. And that's what Jesus is saying. Judge not as a general rule. Look at yourself, at your own heart. Look and just be sure before you start judging and making those righteous judgments, be very, very careful, my friends, because with the measure with which you judge, you will be judged. Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy." He never says, "Blessed are the judgers," you know. No, he warns against that. Not that there's not a time to judge actions, never motives. And you notice that as well. Those who are so focused on the specks in other people's eyes, it is invariably true. They move beyond judging actions. They go to the motives and to the heart, and they start calling everybody else corrupt and this and that. All these people are so bad and so evil. Instead of having a heart of love and mercy that says, "Pray for those who are struggling, and please, brother, pray for me as well, because I am a sinner like everybody else." My friends, I believe these texts of Scripture for us are prophetic, as they are each and every week. Holy Mother Church gives us these powerful texts of Scripture for our own spiritual lives, and to understand, my friends, that the foundation of the spiritual life, whether it's for an individual, a family, a culture, a nation, it is to begin by giving God His due. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We begin by honoring God and blessing God and praising God. That's the Our Father. That's what we do in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We praise God. That is the beginning of everything. And then there is an accounting of our own lives, the penitential rite that begins at the very beginning of the liturgy, where we begin to look inward and say, "Forgive me, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxime culpa. I am a sinner, please forgive me," so that we might be planted firmly in the household of God, as Psalm 92, again, you know, I couldn't help but to notice in this reading that we began in Psalm 92:1, as I said, by giving thanks to the Lord. But then it's, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon." They are planted in the house of the Lord. It's in the context of the liturgical praise of God, together as a people of God, that our roots are planted firmly in the house of God. And it's in that context that we're free to acknowledge that we are sinners, avail ourselves to the sacraments, to the healing font of God's grace to transform us. And it's in that context that then we can begin to look to eternity, as we see in 1 Corinthians, focusing on what is most important. And it's in that context then that we will not be the blind leading the blind, those who are so angry and focused on other sins that they're blind to their own, become the absolute worst leaders, because all they do is invigorate a sense of anger, and they're so far away from the Spirit of Christ and they don't even know it. But when you're focused on the Lord and on your own unworthiness and need for God's grace, That's your foundation. Then you begin to abound in the work of the Lord and not your own self and your own ego and trying to be better than everybody else and showing how everybody else is wrong. But you come from a place of grace and love and mercy, and folks will know it. They will sense it. And so it's in that context that you can gently judge the actions of others, and they will know that you're not coming from a place of anger, but a place of love and mercy. And that is where healing can truly take place. God bless you.